All right, this is Chairman Brad Holton. I'll call the meeting to order. We have an 11 o'clock agenda item, and it's Canyon County impact fee discussion. And so for the public record, this is a needed and important step. There is no action item. There's no decisions going to be reached. But we need to do this in public because it could be potential deliberation towards a decision that we might make in the future. And so we want this all on the record. So with that, I will start the meeting, and we'll, Mr. Williams, take it away.
Thank you, Chair Holton and the board. My name is Aaron Williams, for the record, Director of Constituent Services. Today, I have Colin with us. He's from Tister Bice. We'll be covering the Canyon County Impact Fee Study. This is we're trying to loop you guys in on the conversations that we've had with the initial kickoffs, with meeting the different offices that can utilize impact fees here in the county, and kind of go over high level what the demographics are and the data metrics that we use, but also get some input on some capital improvement plans that we receive from the offices in here, where the board's just directions at with those, and hopefully move forward with this project. And right now we're just going through, as I said, during the budget process when I was trying to work with Colin to get on board with the impact fee study. We're looking at impact fees, see if it makes sense to collect them in the county, and try to understand all the legwork that's going to need to be done to get them going. And so I'll give it to Colin to give an intro or anything.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. So I think we've met a couple of...
We have, yes. Welcome back. Yeah.
I feel like it's just deja vu.
Yeah.
Around the state. But Colin McAweeney, Tischler Pies Galena, really the foremost expert in impact fees throughout the state. You can see here, I think it's getting close to 80 communities that we work with throughout the state, up through Kootenai County, Sandpoint, all throughout the Treasure Valley, and then out east to Idaho Falls and Teton County. As sort of Aaron was alluding to, we wanted to just sort of touch base, you know, just bring everyone up to speed with impact fees. Kind of what they are, what they aren't, but you know there are strings attached for any community that does collect impact. We wanted to discuss that as we move forward through the fee study, and also sort of bring a high level overview of that sort of initial CIP discussion we've had with departments, and then hopefully get a little bit of directive on where priorities land or how you want to sort of see this study finish up. So impact fees, under state code, these are one-time payments that new growth pays to offset their new demand on infrastructure. So that is on those new subdivisions, new business parks that are coming in, that are increasing trips on your roads, visitation to your like parks or jails, for example, or increased calls for service for fire services. If you remodel a home, you're not paying an impact fee. If you're an existing business or any business moving into an existing structure, you typically don't pay an impact fee. This is really on that new construction that's, you know, increasing your population, increasing your workforce. You know, under state code, we have to provide what's called a nexus study. And so it has to hit on three things: need, benefit, and proportionality. Need is shown by showing that the community is growing, and that's certainly the case here in Canyon County. But, you know, there's smaller communities throughout the state where, you know, we might only be seeing one or two homes each year, and maybe we're not growing or at a pace that there's a need for a capital improvement plan and impact fees funding that CIP. So typically, you know, a lot of communities in the state are growing quite quickly, so it's a pretty easy metric to show that there's a need, but not in every case. And also we need to ensure that there's a benefit in the fee program. So that's essentially providing a benefit to those that pay the fee, that new resident that's coming in that ultimately pays the fee when they buy the new home. And we do that by ensuring that the dollars are spent in a timely fashion. So state code says 8 years. Does say 11 years in extraordinary circumstances, but I don't think it's a great tool, impact fees, if you really don't have any plans in the next really midterm or even near term, because we do want to ensure that you're collecting the dollars, so you're not stockpiling it, that you're using it in a timely fashion. And then also in large geographies, which, you know, Canyon County might be, we explore service areas. And so that would actually create separate buckets of money. So, you know, you might have a north service area and a south service area, and development that occurs in the north pays their impact fee, but the dollars are kept and funded, fund projects in the north and same in the south. So that ensures that there's the nexus between the person that pays the fee and benefit. You know, when we're thinking about jail, coroner, those are sort of unique countywide facilities. So we're not approaching service areas for that because you just have one, you know, one jail, one coroner. That's providing uniform service throughout the county. But you'll see a discussion on, let's say, the parks analysis that we're looking at that to ensure that, hey, if we're developing a park, you know, one side of the county, is everyone benefiting? If I build a, you know, if I build a home in the northeast corner of this of the county and pay an impact fee, am I benefiting from that capital plan? And lastly, the fees have to be proportionate. So you'll see ultimately a couple different development types in a fee schedule. So you'll see single family versus multifamily, retail, office, industrial, all of those sort of development types have different demand factors on infrastructure. So we set the fee to that proportionate demand.
And the board tying into that, one thing that Colin brought up was stockpiling and collecting all the funds. The reason why we need to focus in spending it on that time frame is because if we don't spend it within that time frame, we have to give those dollars back to the developers and potentially miss out on the projects that we've called out for our plan.
Yeah. And that's important, you know, that we make these studies as airtight as possible, and because of that, sometimes we take more conservative assumptions when we're approaching these studies, just to ensure that there is no legal challenge or that dollars don't have to be returned in 8 years or even in a shorter time period. Now, there's different methodologies we can take. If you've expanded a facility and issued debt, you can use impact fees to service the growth share of that. And so that would be, you know, that's sort of the past looking. Present looking is a common one that I like to use because it looks at your current level of service. So jails is a good example. Right now it's 1.5 jail beds per 1,000 residents. And so that's your current level of service. You set the impact fee to your current level of service. And as your community grows, you're sort of ensuring that the revenue collection will keep up with growth. And so we're not, the nice thing there is we can't collect an impact fee higher typically than your current level of service. So that sort of safeguards from overburdening growth. There is a plan-based approach, sort of future looking, but in that case, we need to have a, you know, solid committed CIP. And generally speaking, there might be non-growth related costs in that CIP. And if we're collecting an impact fee to fund a portion of the CIP, we need committed dollars to fund the non-growth related portion. And so it's a more aggressive looking approach, and we need commitment from other dollars to sort of make that plan whole. So typically, we do that in some cases like utility impact fees or road impact fees, where there is a high priority and sometimes dedicated like gas tax or dedicated sales tax going, or utility rates for that matter, going to those projects. But generally speaking, communities don't really have too many other dollars just sort of hanging around. And so we fall back on that sort of current level of service approach. And as I mentioned, you know, and you'll hear this a lot, current level of service, and that's sort of facility level of service. So for fire, you know, level of service sometimes is 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes. But when we look at impact fees, it's, you know, facility level service because we're expanding facilities. So we want to make sure that that level of service is quantified. We need to have a capital improvement plan that's mandated by state code, but also, you know, justifies the collection of the fee, but also is a guiding document to ensure, hey, okay, we're going to start collecting in 2026. Here's our 5-year plan to start using those dollars. Importantly, is, as Aaron was mentioning, once we start collecting, we are obligated to use those dollars. And so that's one of sort of decision points today is if we start collecting a coroner impact fee, are we willing to make large expansions or potentially move the coroner for this that matter because we'd be obligated to use those dollars.
Yep. Chairman, I have a question, and it has to do with the time frames that you're outlining. There are instances where state statute allows for an 11-year time period. Can you talk about that? And can you also address the question, is it longer for jails given the magnitude of the dollars for the project?
Commissioner, that's a great question. The 11 years is kind of unique. You know, we do this across the country, and it's kind of, it is unique to see two time frames. I want to say that 11 years sort of caveat came about during the Great Recession, when sort of the bottom dropped. Communities wanted to continue collecting impact fees, not totally, you know, get rid of their program. So that 11 years, I think, was more to extend things out if there's economic turmoil.
Okay.
But there's no distinction on jails having an even longer.
Thank you for clarifying. There is a group who's in just involved community group, but they've indicated that there's a different timeline on the expenditure of those funds for jails. So I just wanted to set the record straight from the expert. So thank you.
And I joke, I didn't pass the bar. So, I, you know, but the, you know, the term extraordinary circumstances could be defined.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's probably a number of ways of defining that. But generally speaking, you know, the recommendation is if we don't have plans, you know, within 8 years, maybe it's not the right time to collect an impact fee.
Yeah. Thank you.
Commissioner.
I'd like to circle back. You used some general numbers, and you used 1.5 prisoner per 1,000. The low number I've seen for Canyon County is 277,000 residents. That puts us at 415 prisoners. That's not reality. Where did those numbers come from?
Good question. That's jail beds.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we have
That still doesn't make reality. So
let's see, we have.
I'm just curious where that kind of supporting documents feels that it's coming clear out of left field and beyond extremely conservative.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. So at the moment, there's 565 beds within the different jail facilities. I would imagine if you do 565 divided by approximately 277,000 residents, you would get, well, and funny enough, actually, I shouldn't say divide the two, because the impact fee would also have a non-residential component, because your retail, office, industrial also driving law enforcement calls. So that's just half the picture. And so in the analysis, and I didn't intend to sort of go into the nuts and bolts of it today, but we'll look at calls for service information to split out the demand on, okay, well, 60% of the calls are related to residential locations, 40 are not, you know, these are right. Hypothetical, 40% non-residential, and so that's where we split out the 565 beds to find a retail impact fee versus a single family impact fee.
Okay, all right, thanks.
Yeah. And the tricky thing, you know, there's layers of complexity here, is that, you know, jails, let's say, we'll just keep with the jail example, is that the adoption of these impact fees, like a fire district, is sort of what you're going through right now as well, is you have to come to terms and agreement with the cities to collect the impact fee on your behalf, because the impact fee is actually collected when the building permit is issued. So if a home's built in Nampa, you'd have to sort of come together with the city of Nampa and put together this IGA that they're gonna collect it on your behalf. And about 90%, 80 to 90% of growth over the next 10 years will occur in the cities, Nampa, Caldwell, Middleton especially. And so the recommendation is if we don't get all those cities on board, to not collect an impact fee, because you're only, you know, you might only be generating 20% of the revenue, but you're committed yourself to even more. And so there would be a growing funding gap. And, you know, an argument that you'd be disproportionately putting costs on unincorporated growth in compared to homes within.
But couldn't you do that through your CIP and also putting in regions or areas that you're wanting to do that? So if you're going to be collecting example from City A, but City B doesn't want to participate, you'd cut that part of the county in half and you look at doing improvements on the other part. So if they don't want to pay to play, they also don't get to entertain the resources.
You could, yes, that would be an option. You know, jail's a tricky one because that's a singular, typically singular facility countywide.
Right.
But paramedics is a good example.
Right. Right?
Yeah. Where if there's, and then you would, you know, calculate levels of service specific to that area, wherever, you know, people are ready to play. And we find the nexus in that approach, yeah. But for your, like, coroner and jail, it would be, it'd be possible. I mean, there's an argument there, but you would want to ensure that there's other dollars coming in to meet the growth-related share of essentially new demand on one side of the county that's not collecting the impact fee. And so you would be obligating yourself even further. In Ada County, for example, we're going through the adoption process right now, engaging with the cities. And, you know, jail is an easier buy-in from municipalities because they don't have a detention center. And the sheriff, and what we're exploring too here, the sheriff, we're only going to collect in the Ada County study, the sheriff facilities within the unincorporated areas of Ada County. Because even though Star Eagle, they're contracting law enforcement through Ada County Sheriff, they all have their own police departments, and so to keep things, you know, the nexus there, keep things all equal, we've removed out the demand from the municipalities on the sheriff facilities to only collect the demand on the unincorporated side. So there's layers, you know, and I think that was sort of one of the aims here today is, you know, what should we explore, because there's a number of different complexities in each one of these categories. Just a little bit more impact fees. You know, these are kept in separate accounts, so special revenue funds specific to, you know, coroner impact fee, jail impact fee, park impact fee. Typically spent within 8 years. You need to have an advisory committee. You know, I'll get to a little bit more next slide on that. We need a capital improvement plan. These studies are also updated every 5 years. You know, that's to make sure that we're capturing those updated CIPs, updating growth projections. You know, just inflation in itself is a good reason to update these on a regular basis as well. We need to have a useful life of 10 years or longer for the infrastructure that we're funding. So sheriff vehicles, for example, is one that we're not including because they're running their vehicles longer. But City of Middleton, their police department, are holding on to their cars longer than 10 years, and so we can actually collect an impact fee for their police vehicles there. Roads, parks, public safety, and utilities is what we can collect for in Idaho. So advisory committee, generally speaking, at least 5 members of the community, 2 of which are in the development industries. They meet at least once a year to review the financials of the impact fee funds, so cash flow in, cash flow out. They also meet 2 or 3 different times when we're updating these studies, and so they review the growth assumptions, capital improvement plans, levels of service, costs, all of the inputs that we put into these reports. And then, you know, the sort of layer of complexity here is we have sort of 2 routes for a county to engage with DFACs, Development Impact Fee Advisory Committees, is you either go through the city's DFACs, and so that would be after we sort of firm up the study, go through your own, because you have one for collecting within the unincorporated areas, but then engaging with City of Nampa, City of Caldwell, and Middleton's DFAC to sort of present these findings and hopefully get their recommendation. Or last year we had new language in the, maybe 2 years ago now, new language in the state code where you could put together a joint DFAC. So potentially the cities could recognize your own DFAC when it comes to jail impact fee, for example. So that's sort of one hurdle that we wouldn't have to go through in the adoption process. You still have to get agreement by city councils and county commissioners to have that joint advisory committee, so there's still some legwork to get through that hump. But that's a hurdle that we're dealing with Ada County, but also with the fire districts. So that's an example where you've recognized Homedale's and Marsing's fire DFAC, and so we've just engaged with them to get their approval. So it helps streamline the process a little bit there. The process itself is meeting with development services to understand growth projections, department heads and capital plans and levels of service. Then we start putting together different methodologies. If you had other revenues going to these capital improvement plans, you may see a credit in the impact fee, a reduction in the impact fee, because we want to make sure we're not double collecting. And so, like, resort towns in Idaho can collect a resort sales tax. And so sometimes those resort sales tax are also going to road expansion, which we might collect an impact fee for as well. And so you would see actually a reduction in the road impact fee, so that future resident isn't paying a full freight impact fee, but also sales tax that's going to the same project. After we sort of have draft report ready to go, we start presenting and engaging with the advisory committees. We could also reach out to other stakeholders in the community if you wish. And then after we sort of, you know, tackle that first hurdle, these CIPs live within the comp plan, so just state code here. And so it would then be presenting to the planning and zoning commissions of each of the cities to get your CIP sort of a text amendment in the appendix of their capital improvement plans. Once we get that hurdle done, then it's going to actually the elected bodies, the city council, for their adoption and your adoption for that matter. So, you know, that really the nuts and bolts and analysis is kind of the easy part. You know, it's a lengthy part. Like Ada County, you know, just sort of a parallel is we probably finished up their report a year ago, and we're still engaging with cities to try and get them to get all on board. You know, to the term he's using is row at the same time. You know, so we've been, you know, sort of doing face-to-face discussions with Meridian and CUNA, Garden City, Boise, Eagle Star. So it's a bit of a lift. So it's not a quick process.
So that's just the cities that are resident in totality within the county. You alluded to fire districts that come across into our county line. Are you insinuating that we are going to be meeting with well in excess of 66 political subdivisions that are totally resident within Canyon County? We have all of these other districts that come across into our county line. We're going to be sitting in their meetings also.
Great question. Just the city, like where the building permit is issued. That's sort of the jurisdiction who's issuing the building permit, who will be ultimately collecting on your behalf. Is where we go through the, like Marsing and Homedale fire districts are example where, you know, there's a town and so we need to approach their P&Z and city councils, but then we're approaching Canyon County for your half of the district, but also we'll have to go to Oahe County for that. Yeah.
So we have Star that's on both sides of the county line.
Yeah, yeah, and Starfire, yeah, coming this week too.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. My next slide is for like growth assumptions. So, are there any questions on sort of the process or fundamentals to impact fees?
I'm sure they'll come up.
Okay. So, and again, there's a memo that sort of details the data behind this, but. We gathered building permit information from each of the cities and the county to understand the last 5 years of growth that's occurred. And so it's been about 3,600 homes per year that's occurred in the county and within those cities. And we're projecting that out for the next 10 years. We're saying, hey, a five-year trend is going to continue. And so we're about 277,000 residents countywide. That will grow to by almost 100,000 residents in 10 years, or 35% from where we are today. Most of that being single-family homes, but a good bit of multifamily here as well. So that's 35% increase growth rate countywide, and then unincorporated areas about 17-18% over 10 years.
Chair Holton and the board, Colin, can you walk the board through the aspect of how you collected those numbers and the metrics you use for them?
Yeah. So that we worked, we've worked with Middleton Fire, which is a good chunk of the northern part of your county, and the Napa Fire, which is a good chunk of sort of that central part of the county. We sort of use projections from those impact fee studies and then Compass information to bring, because there's sort of the other sort of parts of the county that we don't have information for, to get us to that 2025 number. So just to sort of bring us current to 2,770,000 residents, but then using that building permit information to project out. So I was just running the numbers, and this is a pretty good clip, faster than what Compass has projected. Their last projections were in 2021, 2022, and we're projecting about double their increase over this time frame. But if you were looking at, you know, Canyon County in 21, 2022, certainly there was growth, but I think we were sort of peaking at that time, and everyone thought that we were going to sort of come down from that peak, and maybe we have a little bit, but we've actually sort of stayed at this elevated level since then. And I don't think there's no surprise that Canyon County is growing at a really good clip. I mean, it's every day I'm seeing news articles of you know, different developments occurring throughout the Treasure Valley.
I agree.
And importantly, actually, I'm glad Aaron reminded me, is that, you know, the final fee number, you know, if it's $700 per single family home for a jail impact fee, what that represents is your current level of service. So it sort of quantifies at least what it's cost to serve a new home from a capital perspective. And so we're not actually relying on these growth projections to calculate the fee. So we need to have a pretty good, you know, accurate understanding of what growth is, but it doesn't have to be precise. And so we've actually not, so we kind of future-proofed the final fee calculation. This will get us like revenue generation and facility needs, but the final fee number is not pegged to these growths here.
Okay. Chair Holton, tying into this, this could help us kind of outline the game plan for when it comes to understanding when we're setting up our capital improvements plan, to lay out the road for that and say, okay, if we're expecting this amount of growth, then we could expect to collect this amount of dollars to fund said projects on this side.
Right. Is the growth, apologies, is the growth consistent on your slide here of single family, multifamily, to anticipate a growth in more multifamily coming in the next decade and a reduction in single family, or just consistent growth?
Straight line, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's tricky. Yeah, it seems to be, you know, sort of differences politically, you know, in different municipalities. We actually, when you looked at the multifamily 2024, there was a huge drop in multifamily construction. Which was really interesting. Maybe we sort of front loaded a lot of the demand, because it, generally speaking, there's sort of more lumpy,
right,
you know, growth. And so maybe 25, yeah, is a, we'll see a bounce, you know, rebound back up.
Okay. Chairman, Well, I was going to ask a question. So on the non-appropriation portion, where I'm hearing, because impact fees don't cover it all, so it really requires some strategic planning, because successive boards are going to need to carry the funding commitment forward on that. So how do we, I guess we just review that, that there's a five-year renewal. Would we have to do it at a two-year mark?
Yeah, well, and that depends. I mean, if there's a huge game changer that occurs, right, if priorities really really vary from one commission to the next, then maybe it's worth coming back to the drawing board. But, you know, jail is a good example where phase one seems pretty well committed. Mm-hmm. And there's added capacity that phase one is adding that we can fund with impact fees. And there's a non-growth related portion that I think we have the dollars for. So, but yeah, I mean, that's to the point of, if we're looking at a project in year nine, you know, 9 years from now, things might look very different.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're really concerned with, okay, that midterm, or, you know, what are the priorities of the community?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Just to
point of clarification, impact fees never meet the actual growth.
Correct.
They're all designed that you're always staying underneath of that. So our best, even if we did this all perfect, we're not, it's all designed so you'll never meet actual growth. You're always somewhere below that.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the reality, yeah.
And Chair Holton, for the record, I wanted to cover, just to make it clear for people listening, the multifamily, the Canyon County doesn't do multifamily and unincorporated, but within the cities, that's where Colin pulled the numbers for the multifamily across the cities and municipalities within the county.
That's an important point, thank you.
Job growth, even harder to project. In this case, we do rely on kind of our previous information that we collected from Middleton Fire and Napa Fire, but leaned on the work done by Compass to project out growth. Kind of similar, though, about 80,000 jobs in Canyon County, countywide, growing about 35% in the next 10 years, so kind of keeping up with that population growth. You are an employment hub, so it wouldn't be, you know, it's not a surprise that this is actually similar to your population growth. So, you know, just a sort of discussion points that we were having with the Sheriff's Office about their facilities, but also jail, coroner, and your Parks and Natural Resource Department were a couple of things. So current level of service, you know, how do we determine that? Do we look at jail beds, square footage, a coroner office, you know, parks and natural resources? That's a, you know, there's complexities there. Do we have capital plans? You know, so this would be a new revenue source. So this might be, this kind of stirred up some discussion on, oh, okay, well, you know, we're just trying to keep our head above water, right? And, but this would be a new revenue that we could help expand our capacity. But we can't address current deficiencies with impact fees, right? So leaky roofs, you know, replacement of vehicles, those are not impact fee eligible costs. So what of your plans are future growth related too? And so that's an important concept as well, is when we're thinking growth related, it's not growth that's occurred in the last 5 years, because we can't claw back with the impact fee. So we have to be forward looking with the expenditures and the plans. And then importantly, of those plans, is it countywide benefiting, or are there smaller geographies that we have to put together to make sure that there's a defensible nexus in place? And that's really important, I think, on the Parks and Natural Resource side, because they have more, you know, unique facilities. It's not a traditional Parks and Rec department like a city might have in your large county geographically. And so we want to make sure that, you know, that there's a nexus there.
Yeah, and Geraldton and the board, another point of clarity, you can't use impact fees to cover salaried positions or employees, mm-hmm. just yeah. for the record.
Yeah. Do you have resistance on the parks? Because I could see sitting in this chair, you know, you got your city hat on, and your concept of a park is kiddies, sarkler, slide, swings. Our parks are boat ramps, all kinds, it's completely different. So the word term parks is completely different vernacular using the same word. Do you find resistance from the cities and other areas about the parks that they feel that they're in competition then?
So yeah, actually in Kootenai County, that's a good question, Commissioner. Kootenai County, 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago, we put together a study that was jail, very similar, jail, sheriff, other sheriff facilities, and then like waterways, right? Because there's, you know, lakes up there, rivers are up there, but they don't have traditional parks, but they have these access, you know, areas. And very similar process where we had to go to the different cities to make sure that they would collect on the county's behalf. And the waterway component derailed the whole process. And so it derailed everything, and we actually had to redo the study just at the end of last year, 24, to just look at jail and then re-engage with the mayors there and city council. Because they were all, I think there was buy-in to do the jail, but the other components to the study just sort of threw a wrench in it all.
Yeah.
So that's an important note too, is, you know, we can be maybe a little bit more conservative and get it over the finish line, right? If we remove one or two of these items.
Chair Holton, the board, tying into that, it is, I think it would be doable. It really depends on how we sell it, in the sense of our parks are different, as you brought up the boater access way, and you can also camp at our parks. You can't camp at city parks. I think we really got to figure out a pulse point of other municipalities and figuring out where they're at with this whole study and if this is something that they're able to take under their belt too.
So just overview here of sort of what we were hearing from the different departments. So jail, phase one, two, and three. Phase one, the project there is total of 200 beds, but it's replacing an existing facility, I believe the women's facility. And so there's, what is that math? There are 122 beds today, and so we're adding 78 to the capacity of that facility. And so that 78 or 39% would be growth related. And so we could fund that portion with impact fees. You know, tricky thing with impact fees is, you know, they're collected over 10 years. And so you may need the dollars today. You can use impact fees to service growth related debt. So that could be an option. And that's typically the option that you go with jail impact fee funding, because it's such a heavy lift that you need to, extend it out more than 10 years, right? Even 8 years, because there's no way that you can generate enough cash to do a whole jail facility. But then it's not just phase one, there's phase two and three, both of which would have extra added capacity to the facility, and so you could use impact fees to fund that portion of those projects. Sheriff, as you know, the new headquarters funded with ARPA, but you know they indicated that there's training facility needs, and so this would be a larger facility, and we'd want to take actually what's called that plan-based approach. So we'd be forward-looking at that new facility. We would have to calculate what the future growth-related share of that facility was, and I think it approximated maybe 20% over 10 years. But again, you know, there's obligation here, a commitment that day one, we start collecting impact fee for a sheriff training facility. You know, we'll collect 20% in 10 years, whereas the 80% coming in, and that's where your commitment would have to come in. Coroner, needs there, at the facility just down the street here. Expansion of offices, storage, secure records, locker rooms and laundry. You know, I went down, that was the first time I've actually been in a coroner's facility, and you can understand why they need locker rooms and showers. But, you know, the complexity here would be outside of moving the crime lab. That's in that building, outside of moving that crime lab, they aren't able to expand at that location.
Right.
And so that you would have, I mean, there's two avenues here is if we collect an impact fee, right, there's needs, but we've committed to expanding our coroner's department, but we would have to move the whole department to another location, or move the crime lab out to expand out the coroner's office in that case.
Yeah.
And so in both scenarios, right, there's an obligation. And so that's why we wanted to come in front of the board here to sort of get a little bit of directive on this.
And Geraldton, in the board, I worked with Ricky, director of facilities, and we were coming up with a different game plan to see if we could actually expand out towards the street. But we ran into a bunch of right-of-way and utility problems if we were to push out that bay. And so Ricky showed me a plan where it could potentially work, but it wouldn't pencil out for the amount of growth that's projected and for the impact that the coroner would need to do all the stuff that she's wanting to do with the growth that's going to continue to come into the county. And so in that, we're game planning, and we wanted to talk to you all about that. In that sense of, okay, she can't expand here and crime lab can't move, what would that look like for a location for the coroner? And if that's something that's potentially one of the county's priorities to push that through. And to be clear, as Colin brought up, impact fees, how they're tied to this is we can use a portion of impact fees to cover the growth related, but that's where the county has to come forward and cover the rest, whether it be purchasing land or building the building.
Okay. So Parks, Cultural and Natural Resource Department, they did a great job, actually. I was stunned at how well they prepared for the meeting. We have this huge booklet of their current inventory, because that's important, because we have to find the current level of service with what's in the ground today, but also capital plans. And so there's a number of capital plans. And so we have Lake Lowell improvements, you know, that's just sort of a potential use of impact fees. Pathway expansion, that might be a little tricky, but I think there's needs in some areas of the county there. But Celebration Park would actually be a good sort of example of how we could use impact fees to expand. And so that would be, because that's more of that kind of more traditional park, and you have a pretty well invested facility there. And so you could do one of two things. You could expand that actual location, so either purchasing more land or improving the land that you have to sort of add that capacity, or, you know, potentially replicate Celebration Park further down the river. Now the layer of complexity here is, do all new homes in the county benefit from that improvement? There's also visitation from non-Canyon County residents, and so we actually have to then remove out a portion of that facility to account for out-of-county or out-of-state visitation. So it's a tricky number there. But, you know, we could slice it in, you know, unincorporated southern part of unincorporated Canyon County could be that service area, right? That we're saying, hey, you live within more than 10 miles, maybe 10 miles of the park. We're going to expand the park, and so growth will pay in to help expand that facility. Next step. Oh, actually, did I? Let's see. Missed a slide. Let me see here. Oh, that. Yeah, that. Oh, shoot. Oh, dang it. Well, we're looking at a different one, but I have another slide here that I wanted to present. It was sort of current levels of service. And so the jail beds, you know, roughly 1.5 beds per 1,000. And at that current level of service and growth, you might capture about $9 million in impact fee revenue. And then if we look at coroner facility level service, that was about 29 square feet per 1,000 residents, because we're looking at that current floor plan. But at the 10-year mark, you would capture about $800,000. So little under $1 million for the coroner's office. Parks, if it was collected countywide, you would collect about $1.4 million for the Parks and Natural Resource Department. And then sheriff, as I said, the level of service kind of to be determined, because we'd be forward looking with that training facility, but you know, you'd be able to capture about 20% of that cost with impact fees. And so, you know, one of the, you know, phrases I use is the juice worth the squeeze. You know, jails, for example, 9 million, you know, it's a pretty good chunk of change, but you're thinking about, you know, $1 million over 10 years for coroner expansion, $1 million for the parks expansion, if the cities buy in, for that matter. And then sheriff training facility, the 20% with impact fees, but you would be committed to doing that facility. So you'd have to come up with about 80% of the final number. So that was a slide that wasn't on here, but that was worth sort of considering when we're thinking about next steps is the revenue generation from these impact fees. And importantly, they'd be kept in their own funds. And so the jail impact fee can only be used for jail expansion, parks only used for parks, coroner only used for coroner. So what we're hoping today, so sort of get some input, you know, regarding capital plans and priorities by the board here. We then sort of use that input, start putting together draft fees, which could be done pretty quickly. Engage with the county's advisory committee to start getting their input. So we bring that input into the sort of draft fee amounts, and then present sort of the final draft to the commissioners. And then I think at that point we'd have to start engaging with the cities, or even earlier, to kind of see their temperature on some of these items.
Chair Holton and the board, I would recommend that the board take some time to chew on this, as this is the first time that this is being presented to you all, unless you're ready to make a decision, and then we can come back another time at a later date and really figure out priorities that you all have set forth.
Sounds reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Major.
It will be interesting, because we have a unique year. All of the cities are going to be in here for their area of impact.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is their comprehensive plan and everything else. So,
yeah.
Mm.
Chairman?
That more complicated.
Yeah, the politics of it, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question related to your question back up. The number, I'm looking at our law enforcement, but the jail beds allocated on the population, that's their current level of service, but is that determined? How is that number? I missed. So is there a jail standard that says you need to have this many beds for this? So we're just looking currently at what we have. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a really sort of important discussion point is, well, if there's national standards that we should be at 3 beds per 1,000, we're only at 1.5. Well, the only way for us to charge for the 3, really doubling the impact fee, would be other revenue, like a bond, to bring all existing boats up, essentially, to bring up that level of service to 3.
Because that's a deficiency and not a growth-related. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and to Aaron's point, too, you know, I wanted to sort of interface with you guys to sort of hear any input, but, you know, moving forward with the study certainly doesn't commit, you know, the analysis, right, the report certainly doesn't commit you to adopting it. But I just wanted to sort of get your review and input on it.
I really appreciate the information that you've provided, and as Aaron's indicated, we'll need a chance to comb through here and look at that a little more carefully and come back with questions. But it's nice to see you again, and thank you for the presentation, setting it up, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I think I agree with Aaron. I need to contemplate several of these issues before I start making public statements of what a today opinion might be. It might morph a little bit after I take all of this information in and think it through.
Yeah. Chair Holton and the board, Commissioner Van Beek, you brought up a good point early in the presentation in that sense of priorities of the board shifting, different EOs coming in, and the plan saying this and then having to review it. And so impact fees are already complex, and then you add that measure to it, too. It just makes a whirlpool of more complicated things. And so definitely considering that. And our goal is to set up a plan where it's, I wouldn't say bulletproof, but when it comes to legal stuff, we're able to be bulletproof that way. When we come up with different elected officials, hopefully to set someone where we can get all everyone on the same page to keep the dollars flowing in to fund said projects.
Right. And that's a leadership component, and I appreciate you bringing that out. We're working hard to work in collaboration. We have several members of the Sheriff's Office represented here, our ambulance district, our facilities, the coroner. So it is really a united effort on the part of the EOs, and the impact is countywide. So it's a great discussion. I appreciate you leading the charge.
Thank you.
Good. Is there anything else for today? All right, well, thank you for bringing that forward, and we can have this these PDFs.
Yeah.
We'll put them on the web for today's meeting also. That, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Okay.